Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Amazon podcast, your weekly blueprint for explosive success. I'm Carlos Alvarez, full-time successful Amazon seller and organizer of the largest Amazon seller meetup group in the world. Let's do this. Welcome to the Wizards of Amazon podcast, where we cover all things private label. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I will be your host for the show. In today's episode, we have two amazing guests from .com partners, Sergio and Paul. What's going on?
Hey, Carlos. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Guys, your partners actually were on this show previously. I believe it was Zach and who was this?
Yeah, Zach and Corey came on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Zach and Corey. It's the most downloaded episode on my podcast to date, probably because the topic is one that not many people can talk much about since it had to do with Walmart. So I am really excited to have you guys on the show.
We'll have to make it good because I want to beat them, obviously.
Obviously. No competition, right? So in the episode today, something I just reached out to you guys and wanted to know what I figured there was a ton. And you guys obviously confirmed that. Like a ton has changed with selling on Walmart since we last spoke, .com partners and myself. I believe we're looking at almost 6 months ago at this point. And in this episode, I wanted to go over, since there's too much to go over in a single episode, I wanted to go over some of the newer features that are available on Walmart that sellers can take advantage of. And also some cool tools, because everyone seems to be in the dark that there is, even myself included, that there even is tools that sellers can take advantage of to just have success on Walmart. And you guys, just prior to the recording, imply that there's actually a lot to go over, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, definitely. Walmart's growing like crazy, and Walmart as an organization is kind of, they're like investing a lot of resources into making Marketplace more and more a core component of their online business and more viable for sellers. I think everybody who's taken a look at it knows that, you know, it's much less built out necessarily than the Amazon systems, but Walmart realizes that and is kind of rapidly, I'd say, moving to take steps to address that. For the purpose of today, I think probably a good place to start is with Walmart Fulfillment Services, which is basically their kind of FBA equivalent that they released a couple months ago that you had to be kind of on a pre-approved list for. And now post-holiday, they're going to open up to pretty much everybody. So you can start shipping and storing items within the Walmart system.
Let me do this before, because I have a ton of questions about the FBA stuff. For people, .com partners was on episode 35, and we're going to beat the download, the amount of downloads this episode than the last one. But can you share with listeners what is .com partners? Who are you guys? Why you're at .com partners? What you know about Walmart and whatnot?
Definitely. This is why you're the host, Carlos, and I'm the guest, because that's clearly the place to start. So I'm Paul Klaus, like Carlos said. Our company, .com Partners, we're an agency that's helping kind of in-store vendors, big companies, as well as marketplace sellers get set up and grow onto Walmart, this new emerging channel. In terms of like kind of what our bona fides are and how we got into this is everyone at .com Partners, we started off working at Walmart.com. So we were all merchants on the Walmart.com business, kind of in the early days, helping it get off the ground, helping build out categories. And then about a year and a half ago, you know, we really realized like, hey, this is going to be huge. Walmart's really growing. There's a lot of interest. But there's nobody out there who's kind of helping sellers and vendors navigate the space. So it's a lot of people running into issues where it's just a knowledge problem. It's like they have the capabilities, they know how to sell online. They just don't understand the Walmart side of it. And so that's kind of what gave us the idea to break off from Walmart, pull people like Sergio, who's on with me and is also a former buyer for Walmart.com, in to start helping vendors kind of understand that space and sharing the knowledge we have from working on the inside.
What specifically did you do at Walmart? And then I guess what do you handle on the day-to-day at .com partners?
Cool. So specifically at Walmart, I was the buyer for floor care. So it's as romantic as it sounds, I was a vacuum salesman on the internet. But so that's for people who don't know what the buyer role is. Basically, you make all of the decisions around what's going to be online, what is Walmart going to buy. If you're working with marketplace vendors, who are you going to partner with closely and kind of promote their items if you think they're useful in your assortment, as well as a bunch of other kind of more technical system stuff around tracking and curating search terms and the like. So really kind of sitting in the middle of the web and getting a finger into every pie. And then your job is kind of to know what's going on and have a direction for your section of the business.
You should also mention that for Walmart, the online buyers were also a really good way for buyers to test out their chops and then hopefully get into stores, which, you know, is like the real big, that's the moneymaker for Walmart. So for us, we were sort of a proxy a lot of the time for the store buyers who were managing larger, more involved businesses. We were sort of the testing grounds, which was really, really fun and really great to be on.
Perfect. So, and is it always the case that the in-store brand that the buyer's connecting with is always a bigger brand than the one that's going just online, or is it ever reversed?
I would say most times, but Paul, you maybe have a different experience.
Yeah, most times it is. The only time it's not is when sometimes they're, you know, really big, kind of more exclusive brands. So think like a Nike or an Apple. They won't want to go into Walmart stores right off the bat. And they'll kind of dip their toe in the water online as opposed to launching in stores. But for the most part, Walmart stores, you know, there's, I think, 3,000 stores all across America, and they're all huge. So there's some really big players in that pond.
Awesome. Sergio, how about yourself?
Yeah, so I started on washers, dryers, and dishwashers, which was a pretty small category at the beginning because we were only focusing on the countertop versions of everything. And living in a studio apartment now, I sort of wish I had my countertop dishwasher. I wish I had that washing machine that would tuck away into the closet. But when we were there, we started building out the full-size side of the business, which is nuts because if that worked well online, then Walmart could start pivoting and start looking at stores. So it was cool to look under the hood and sort of see how Walmart manages something like making a new market for themselves.
Awesome. And I would imagine that you guys have maintained a lot of contacts or people or friendships of people that still work at Walmart, and where allowed, you can leverage that to a client's favor.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty close knit. We all worked out of the same office. Everybody kind of came on and got built up around the same time. So it was like a real close experience kind of building the site, especially early on. And most of those people are still around in the Walmart ecosystem. So
that's amazing. The I'd say a downside of Amazon as it pertains to that I found is I sell as a third party seller in the marketplace. I also have a 1P kind of vendor central relationship with Amazon, but it doesn't matter how much you invest into building that relationship with your vendor manager. It's almost like a joke within Amazon. You won't be working in that spot in like 3 weeks. You're just gone. Like, you've either burned out, quit, ran off and started an agency. They moved you to something totally like automotive from electronics, and you're just gone. So that's not the case at Walmart.
No, well, at least not for us. It's definitely a nice thing that we can leverage that, you know, if we're working in a space, even if we don't know the people directly, we usually know someone who can kind of shoot over an email and say, you know, oh, hey, this, you know, this is Sergio. I used to work with him back in the day. He's a good guy. Like, at least hear him out. See if you can help him out. So
I'm curious, I guess I didn't even think to ask this question, but who do you think won? And again, we all, I think everybody here knows that, you know, this was a hard time for a lot of people, but as we're talking about e-commerce, with Walmart and Amazon, who do you think had the came out of this better at the end of this?
At the end of it, that's a good question.
Or where we're at now, I'm assuming we're towards the end.
Yeah, one would hope. I assume that too.
I think the delta, if you're looking at just the raw change between where they were before and where they are now, you have to, I think, say Walmart. I think talking to our sellers who are on Amazon, it doesn't seem like there were that many changes. Like maybe things accelerated a little bit. Maybe there were different buying patterns that led to more growth. But that is sort of just based on the season and based on the fact that we have a pandemic going on. What Walmart has on their side was a whole bevy of tools that came out, an entire structural change on the inside that is going to lead to growth next year as well when we're not in a pandemic. It's these sort of concrete tools and steps that were given to the buyer, to the marketplace vendors so that they could succeed in the next 2 or 3 years, not just this year.
Yeah, I kind of think along the same lines. I think this was a big, this whole event, the whole pandemic was a huge inflection point for Walmart. It's a different customer. They're very like loyal, used to being in stores. And so on the customer side, this has kind of kicked. A lot of those customers are now newly activated .com buy customers. People who weren't shopping online before, which, you know, Walmart's the majority of Americans are shopping at Walmart. Now they've been pushed into this online ecosystem. And then on top of that, there's been a real shot in the arm to the big brands and Walmart itself of just, hey, we really have to double down and really take a look at what we're doing online, because it went from being, you know, 8% of our revenue to now it's 28% of our revenue.
That's huge.
So we really got to figure out what's happening here. So I think from a shopper perspective, you're going to see a lot more people focusing online. And then from a brand and supplier perspective, you're also going to see a lot more focus online and more resources going in that direction.
Yeah, I feel like a year ago, nobody in my circle of sellers was talking about ads on Walmart or talking much about Walmart, period, to be honest. It was more of a, somebody brought up Walmart and then somebody groaned like, oh my God, I couldn't find someone to actually even add my product, or, and a lot of that has changed over the last year. So these major changes, and we're going to go into some of them, the, you know, the FBA equivalent badges, tools, it seems that these are massive changes and they would have needed a lot of runway to make this happen. Did this happen? Do you think, did any of this happen because of the pandemic? Or was this something in the pipeline and it was going to come out this time anyway? Did things, you know, advance because of the pandemic? Like, what do you think happened there?
I definitely think it's been in the pipeline for a while now. It's not something new that Walmart's focusing on growing marketplace and making that more of a core part of the online strategy. I think it probably got more resources and they kind of pushed things along a little bit faster because of it. But this is, I think I said it last time I was speaking with you, Carlos, but Walmart's a glacier. And so it takes a long time to turn, but it's not going to stop. It just kind of, it's going whatever direction they pointed in. And this is the direction they've had it pointed in for a couple of years now.
Awesome. Oh, let's just jump into it now. So I would say the number one thing, especially, and this is something that gets me. So when I started selling, this is the whole, you know, when I was a kid, I walked to school 10 miles in the snow type of thing. When I started selling, it was like in my house, taping boxes, growing my business, and then advanced to a warehouse and all of that. But it was all merchant fulfilled. It was all, we fulfill it ourselves. And FBA now, when I'm seeing newer sellers come in, they, with the Amazon FBA program, it's like, I'm not even going to sell. If they, you know, you mentioned Etsy, you mentioned Overstock, you mentioned Walmart, any of these other ones, and they're like, do they have FBA? Because if they don't, it's just like not a model that they want to entertain. And I think Amazon's done a really good job of that with sellers, like making it that easy to just send something in. It's almost just set it and forget it. Walmart coming out with an FBA equivalent is huge. Can you tell me about that? Who has access? I know we touched on it briefly in the beginning of this. Who has access? Maybe some of the costs that are involved. If you're familiar with FBA, can you kind of compare the two?
Sergio is way more in the weeds on this than I am, so I think he's your man.
Yeah, definitely. So with Walmart, they have the first step is to just pick what you want to go on there. And, you know, you have to a little bit get into the mind of the Walmart customer. You have to sort of strategize a little bit just because it's going to take a little bit of time. You need to convert your items, which is just a process of giving a little bit more information about your product so that they can be properly stored and fulfilled. And then like FBA, you send them off to a warehouse to be fulfilled by Walmart. And that's great. That's pretty easy and straightforward. But the process is a little bit still evolving. There are some shortcomings and some things that you need to work on a little bit with Walmart Fulfillment Services. But in terms of fee structure, I'm pretty sure it's similar to FBA. You have a fulfillment fee and then you have a storage fee. The fulfillment fee is based on weight. If you have hazmat or apparel, you add 50 cents per pound. And then on storage fee, it is usually, you know, a flat fee. Holidays, it goes up a little bit. It goes from 75 cents per cubic foot to $1.50 per cubic foot. I think I'm reading that right. Sorry, I have it pulled up here. And then if it's in the warehouse for longer than 12 months, then you get a little bit penalized for that. That's $7.50 per cubic foot per month. So it really goes up after those 12 months elapse. Sure. So there's really incentive, like I said earlier, to be careful and strategize because you want those high velocity items. You want to be able to move those as quickly as possible. Otherwise, you're going to incur fees that nobody wants those.
What? Thank you for that. And you know what? Amazon's FBA program has been around, it feels like forever, and it still has shortcomings. So, I mean, that's to be expected. I remember Amazon FBA when it started, and it was a disaster. It was a dumpster fire when it first started. So what are some of those shortcomings that you touched on that someone could potentially expect? And I'm sure Walmart's going to fix. But what are some of those shortcomings now with the Walmart FBA program? Or what's the name of it? So I stopped calling it FBA.
Oh, it's Walmart Fulfillment Services, WFS.
Okay, WFS. I'm going to have to like rewire my brain for that.
But like, yeah, of course.
So I keep saying Walmart FBA. You know what I'm talking about. I just haven't rewired yet. So Walmart WFS, what are some of those shortcomings?
Yeah. So one of the things is we have one of our clients has maybe 2,000 SKUs and they want to have all of them in WFS. And that's great. That's, you know, you get sold and shipped by Walmart on your PDPs. It looks great. One of the issues is you have to manually put in all that information. Instead of just providing the information in a pre-filled out template or something of that nature, Walmart is still figuring out all of the kinks to try to get that pre-filled for you. So if we want to convert those items, we have to sort of do it in batches. Otherwise, we have to wait till all 2,000 are ready to convert. That isn't the velocity we want for our clients. What we want is to be able to...
Let me see if I'm understanding that. So you, prior to WFS, you just added your product a certain way. And now that WFS is an option for some people and eventually everyone, you would just now need to, when you wanted to send it into the fulfillment center, you would need to add those additional details to the product detail page that previously weren't required because they played no part in the sale. That's all you need to do. But are you saying that once you send that into WFS, the next time you want to send more, it makes you do it again?
It makes you do it again and all manually. It doesn't. So for Walmart, you have 85% of the information you need for WFS, but none of that gets filled in. So you have to either copy and paste it or put it in for every single item.
I would imagine, though, for what they've created with online shopping, that's going to be a relatively small thing that they fix rapidly because that everyone's got to be complaining about that.
Definitely. It's even in the tutorials and the seller help manuals, they're like, this is something we're going to fix. It's just right now we're still piloting and still working through it.
All right. Some impact on profits. So you mentioned that the pick and pack fees, the storage fees, they seemed really on par with Amazon, but what about that critical shipping to WFS? How, like in the instance with Amazon FBA, if you're not familiar, there's a ridiculously deep discounted, preferred carrier rate with UPS and other carriers to get the products to the fulfillment center. What about how does Walmart do that?
I think they're still, that's one of the things they're also working through right now. Also, we sort of have had a skewed view on it because we've been shipping during holiday and we've been trying to store during holiday. And so the velocity and the fees are all sort of a little bit hard to gauge right now because they are at that accelerated rate. So that's something we're all still figuring out.
Sure. But do you have like a, if you shipped in 20 pounds of product, how would I kind of, or is it even possible right now? Like, is there like a fee calculator or something that I could punch in the weights and say, okay, I can expect to pay this amount of money to reach a WFS center?
Yeah. So we have some of those fees laid out in a one pager. But I think those actually pertain to fulfilling out of the Walmart fulfillment center. That's something I know Walmart has discounted rates on FedEx for all marketplace sellers just in general. But that's something that I think we need to dig a little bit deeper on.
Okay. Paul, do you want to add anything there on the WFS?
Yeah. I think another thing that's worth mentioning about it that we've seen be pretty impactful for clients is that you end up getting the 2-day shipping flag. And so one, you know, that makes your offer more appealing to customers. But also that 2-day shipping plays into buy box logic and kind of how the search rankings work on walmart.com. So we've seen people, we didn't actually expect this, but we've seen people get a lift in sales just from moving to WFS. And it's really because now, hey, maybe they're 30% more expensive than somebody else, but they have 2-day shipping. And so they're getting the buy box versus that person who's cheaper, but it's going to take 7 days to get your item in there. So not something we expected to see, but in almost every instance, we've seen it increase revenue when people move to WFS as well.
I'm going to have to go look for this flag, but I'm assuming it's like the equivalent of a Prime badge is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's not a like the subscription service badge, but it basically just flags on site, hey, you can get this item shipped to you in 2 days.
Man, that gives me chills. That's exciting. I'd love to see some people take a strong run at Amazon. I mean, the competition is just going to be great for everyone, but especially online. So I think that's huge. I think Amazon, again, has done a great job at almost training everyone. Remember as a kid, I don't know how old you guys are, but I remember as a kid, it was 6 to 8 weeks delivery on everything. Like that's kind of what it said, 6 to 8 weeks or 8 to 12 weeks even. And if you wanted it, you just did it. I find myself now, if I can't get it in 2 days, I just.
Like, do you really want it? You know?
Yeah. Is it that important?
Good question. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's Walmart's taking a strong run at it. And the kind of internal mantra is actually next day. So their goal is to get faster than Amazon. So.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be good for everyone. So what about, there is a preferred carrier of some sort where these goods are shipped in? Is it, you know, if it's UPS, FedEx, or does anyone use any carrier they want to send stuff in to WFS?
I think why don't we can include it in the show notes in the one pager, because okay. I don't want to give out anything off the top of my head if I don't have the exact details in front of me.
Yeah. What one more thing then, if it's in the one pager, this is fine. But what about like if somebody's starting off and they're sending in a few boxes, that's great. But what if I want to send in a truckload? Do you know if the WFS is already accepting like container loads of goods straight from China? I mean, I know Walmart has to be set up for that because it's Walmart, but are they allowing third-party sellers to do that?
Sergio, have you seen
I haven't seen the container size yet. The biggest I've seen is pallet. And they have instructions for palletizing your goods and how to mark them and make sure that they actually get inbounded correctly. Walmart has all sorts of names for break packs and case packs, case units. And so they have very detailed how-tos on how to palletize.
Okay, perfect. Let's get into this. Let's get into some of these tools. I put a post out. I'm going to be honest. I put a post in the Wizards of Amazon Facebook group and said, I convinced .com partners to come back on the podcast, a breakdown of what you guys do. If you could ask them any question, what would it be? And I got bombarded. I mean, there was a lot, like way too much to have in a single show. But one thing that was very consistent throughout all of it was, when are tools going to be available for us to use? So I saw that, and then I saw your guys' email, and it was about tools that Amazon has rolled out. So can we get into some of these tools that Walmart has that we can use to have better successes on Amazon, on Walmart?
Yeah, definitely. It's been this has been like a huge shift in kind of what they're doing. Previously, and I'm sure everybody who's selling on Walmart now appreciates, Walmart's been super opaque. It's been kind of, you come in, you set up your items, and they don't really give you any insight into how well positioned they are, what kind of traffic you can expect. It's been very, closed doors like that. And they're starting to change that. And so the biggest thing that they've done is they've rolled out in their seller center, it's called a growth opportunities tab. And I think the most impactful thing on there is the listing quality score, which is sort of a super score of three different metrics that Walmart uses to give you insight into how they're viewing your item. Serge, do you want to take it away? I know you're the go-to guy for this.
Yeah, of course. Very quickly, when we're talking about tools, WFS also, just a fun fact, runs on the same platform that we used to use internally. Those are Walmart tools that people used to use. So they just sort of rewrapped it, and you're using very powerful tools now in Walmart Seller Center, which you weren't able to use before. That leads me into the listing quality score. The first component, Paul mentioned that there were three components for the listing quality score. The first one is content and discoverability. When we were at Walmart, we were always focused on the quality score, which weighted your title, your description, your images, and gave you a score between 0 and 100. So let's say you have a score of 95% or 100%. That means your pictures look great. You have rich media, you have content below the fold, you have description, specs, everything is filled out to the best of your ability, and it's giving the Walmart customer a really great experience. That's something that we were really focused on while we were at Walmart, and it's great to see that sort of prioritization of the customer experience is now on the marketplace vendor side. The second component is going to be offer. And that just basically means that you're looking and making sure that your items are healthy on site. It's, are there your items in stock? Not only are they in stock, are they transactable? You don't know how many clients we've talked to that they have 100 items in error status, and they're just losing sales on that. Those items could be live if they troubleshoot those errors. And Walmart will actually penalize you on your listing quality score if your item is caught in error state, if your item is not in stock. And then the final thing would be ratings and reviews. This one is probably the trickiest one for vendors who are new to Walmart. But basically, you want to be able to build customer confidence. And what every customer wants is to be able to have customer-generated content. They want to be able to compare products with their peers and have opinions of other people on site right in the PDP. So if you have really good ratings and reviews, reviews with pictures, ones that are both positive and negative, you're going to see a good ratings and reviews score. So once you put in content, offer, and ratings and reviews, you have your overall listing quality score.
Wow. I think at the highest level, what's important to know about it is, you know, in some ways it seems like it's just telling you back obvious information. But it's really Walmart giving you a window into how their systems and how their algorithms are going to be looking at your items. So if you have a high quality score, they're prioritizing items that have those high scores in the customer experience. They, in their mind, they want to show shoppers online items with high scores. So it's really like the key to building a foundation where you can run successful ads, where you can generate sales, is focusing on this quality score. And the really cool thing from a functionality standpoint is that it'll show you where the opportunities are. So from a content perspective, you can go in and it'll say, you know, hey, your quality score is 67%. That's not that great, but here's why it's 67%. It's because, you know, you haven't filled out what color this is or what health concern this product addresses. And they'll kind of walk you through it in a way that they didn't before, where you didn't really know what was wrong. And now you can just see, okay, where is the opportunity for me to improve?
That's insane. On Amazon, that's super powerful. One of the few really good benefits of in my experience of having that 1P vendor central relationship with Amazon, was that they had a program called VPS. It was Vendor Premium Services. And their services were overpriced, and their people really didn't know what they were doing, but they overpriced as far as like fair market. I mean, them point to me, the gold was exactly what you just said. They could go in and see not only what needed improving as far as a, let's call it a quality score, how to improve it, like what you would need to do to make that right. And then they would, you know, push you off to one of their vendors to get it corrected. And overall, it was just gave the product a huge boost in sales. So that's nuts. I mean, it makes sense that Walmart would have, they're just calling it a listing quality score instead of, well, I guess it could be the same thing on Amazon. Something you mentioned about though, transactable, Sergio, if the product is kind of having an error and it's not showing, that means it's not visible to a buyer. How would you still be penalized for that if it's not even viewable?
So those items are still indexing internally on your Seller Center account. So Walmart knows that you have the item and you pushed it to site, but there is just some error that hasn't been remedied. And so they're basically saying you're losing revenue here. Under the growth opportunities tab, there's a calculator that'll tabulate these items have been out of stock for 3 months. This is how much revenue you lost, which is insane. It's a really, it puts it into dollars and cents what your lackluster PDP is costing you, which I think is really valuable to a lot of marketplace vendors who maybe are not seeing Walmart as valuable as Amazon. They maybe don't put the same level of care into it. And the growth opportunities really brings that to the forefront and gives you action items to fix that.
So basically Walmart's saying, if you have a listing showing on our site and it's not optimized, well, we don't want that junk on here. We're going to penalize you in the form of dropping your overall LQS.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, this is maybe rolling a little bit into another subject, but they've also started rolling out what they're calling the Pro Seller Badge. And one of the important metrics for qualifying for getting this badge on your PDPs and in search saying, hey, this is a pro seller for Walmart, is this listing quality score. And so to your point, Carlos, if you have items that aren't visible, but they're still negatively affecting your listing quality score, one strategy we've pursued is just get rid of those items. If you can't get them live on site, take them out of the system, because it's way better off. You're way better off having that pro seller badge than you are having, you know, 17 items that are not, can't be sold anyways. So it's certainly, it's a strategic thing to consider if you do have items that are on site, but in the system can't actually be purchased.
So even if you have a product in the system, but it's not viewable to a buyer, it can still affect your overall listing quality score.
It can. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a golden nugget there.
Yeah, it's important to consider that. I think it definitely gets overlooked, and it's sometimes that'll be the last thing holding you back from getting that pro seller badge. And so you might be running around like crazy thinking, I don't get it. Everything's looking good, but it's because of those error status items, and you're better off just clearing them out of your catalog.
Well, the pro seller badge will be something I'll impose on your guys' time again in a future episode on. And we'll dive into that. What about tools? What about any other tools? We have the listing, I guess I'm going to call it listing growth opportunities tab. Is there any other tabs or tools that Walmart has rolled out over the last few months?
Included in that growth opportunities tab, which is kind of like the bucket of new tools that they've released.
Okay.
They also are providing an ability for marketplace sellers now to submit items for campaigns online. It's in trial phase. It's limited availability at the moment. You kind of have to be a trusted seller, I guess. They kind of like, you have to score well enough. They're looking at your history as they trial this out. But you do have the ability, if you want to run promotions, you can submit those to Walmart, and Walmart's site merchandising team will look at the promotions that are submitted and go, you know, okay, what do we think really has the chances to really catch on fire and run away? And then they'll include you on some of their deal shelves online. So that's especially super impactful during holiday season. Those deal shelves basically get traffic directly from the homepage. And Sergio, I can tell you from our time at Walmart that it's substantial. They're getting millions of hits daily, at least. There's a ton of traffic coming to those deal shelves. And previously that could only be items Walmart was selling. And now they're opening that up to marketplace sellers to have that opportunity to be present like in that traffic flow and get some of that revenue.
And to be clear, campaigns are different than pay-per-click advertising.
Yes. Sorry. That's when I say campaigns, I mean sort of, I mean promotional strategies. So you're saying, hey, this item is usually $100. We're going to run this promotion where it's $70 for 4 days on site. You can submit that through this campaigns tab to be included around site, and the site merchandising teams will kind of place you in front of traffic where they know it is.
And in that example, like $100 product, you're going to do 20% off for a campaign. The seller funds that $20 off, or does Walmart for the inclusion into that, like kind of co-op or kind of like share any of the costs of that campaign?
No, the seller would fund that 20% off, and it can sound counterintuitive. Like, why would I sell my item for cheaper?
You rank.
But if it's going to, if it's going to give you 100 times more traffic over 3 days than it would have otherwise had, it's definitely something people have had a lot of success with. So smaller margin, but just way higher revenue.
I would imagine like currently running a successful campaign like that, you would just come up much better in search after the campaigns on that same product for giving keywords.
Definitely. Yeah. A big part of the search algorithm is just rolling 30-day sales. So that's going to be sticky. It's going to have a halo effect on your whole assortment of keywords afterwards.
Okay. I want to be respectful of your guys' time. Is there like one other tool that you feel like you would just have to share in this episode that people should know about? I mean, you shared a lot already.
I think if I could plug one tool so it's not a Walmart tool, it's a third party tool. But it's something that we're using internally that I think, offers a great value is PackView as an ad platform. Walmart right now, if you're using, their self-serve ad tools, it's fairly limited, as I'm sure anybody who's using it can appreciate. But PackView is a third-party tool that has a lot more robust kind of reporting and analytics features. So it's not a Walmart tool, but it is Walmart assisted. I would plug that as kind of one of my favorite tools out there right now.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I think I would have took a bet before this that there was no really like solid third-party tool for that. I use Perpetua. I don't know if you're familiar with Perpetua.
I'm not familiar with it, no.
Yeah, but
Perpetua was one of the four ad partners that Walmart indicated. So there was PackView, Techometrics, Perpetua, I'm pretty sure.
But you would definitely recommend PackView. And PackView is spelled just like it sounds.
PACVUE. So not how it sounds at all.
PACVUE.
Yeah. And that's for self-serve. If you want managed, they don't do managed ad platforms or anything like that. It's just some tooling for people who want to do it themselves. But from what we've seen, it's one of the best options out there.
I love it. Solid gold, guys. You guys were absolutely amazing. Thank you for your time again. I want to be respectful of your time. What's the best way because you guys help people succeed on Walmart. So if they don't want to run their head into the wall for the next year figuring out how this works, people can just hire you directly. So what's the best way that people can get a hold of you? And yes, I'm going to get that link from you with the one pager that I'll include in the show notes for this. So how can people reach you guys?
Definitely. So I think two best ways are through our website, which is .compartners.com. We have a contact us box there that goes straight to my inbox. And then if you want to go even more direct, my email is Paul, P-A-U-L, at .compartners.com. Feel free to shoot me an email. If you have questions, you're interested in our services, I'm happy to jump on a call and kind of talk through things with people.
You can shoot an email to team at .compartner so that we all get it. And if Paul is busy putting out a fire, we'll all get the email at team at .compartner.
That's probably a better idea. Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely, guys. Well, before I let you totally off the hook, really quick, Something I ask everybody at the end of this episode, just because I love to read and I feel like the type of books that somebody reads or is their favorite book tells me a lot about the person. What's the favorite book you guys have ever read and why?
Sergio, you want to go first?
In college, I remember having my notes app open because I wanted to write down every single quote from the book Beloved by Toni Morrison. I still have the note in my phone of all of these amazing, just like amazing bits of writing, these excerpts that I love that book.
By Toni Morrison?
Yep.
I've not read this book. I love hearing that.
It's pretty short, so you could read it this weekend.
Oh, I'm on it. I'm on Amazon. Well, I'll check Walmart. In the spirit of the episode, I'm going to check Walmart.
Perfect.
That sounds great.
Paul, how about yourself?
I'm going to go with Dune by Frank Herbert. It's a sci-fi classic.
Yeah, of course. It's amazing.
It's a fantastic book. I've read it like three times. It's sort of a sci-fi dressed up classical tragedy. And I think they're making a movie actually this year.
Yeah, I would have never thought there was a book. Like I can't see that as a book, but now I'm going to do it. It's
really good. I would not recommend the sequels, but the first book is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm an epic fantasy reader with my when I'm not reading business or inspirational books, like I totally will read this.
Yeah. Look, it's fantastic.
All right. You guys are awesome. I won't keep you here. Huge, huge thank you. I have no doubt that I'm going to be reaching out to you guys to see if you'll present to my meetup group in 2021, as well as coming back on the episode, sharing the news and what's new and what's working and not working on Walmart. So huge thank you again for being on the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Carlos, thanks so much for having us. It's always a blast. Excited to come back in 2021. I think more big stuff's in store for Walmart. So
awesome. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Sergio. Talk to you guys next week.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Liked what you heard and want to stay connected? Join our Facebook group or find me anywhere on social media at Wizards of Amazon, or text the word Amazon to 69922.